Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
From Atlanta, yeah, so Cleveland, been winning all the games in my division. Tell your missus not to miss us, she tripping. No Christmas for me, I'm already gifted. No disrespect to the spirit, intoxicated while I'm steering on the rear end. Shout out to my dog Venom, no spider. Think I'm about to smoke one, no lighter. Climb up as far as you can, but you can't catch it. Leave your red like the bright lights on exits. Almighty gang, 12 letters. My take for yours, wonder who sells better. Young college kid, but I never got a letter. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Bless up, then boss up. But if you walk up, I got something that'll off ya. Yeah. All I ever hear is bag legend. When you gon' stop doing this? When you gon' start doing that? When you gon' come see me? When you gon' come see her? Look, y'all need to understand something. Everything I do is work. Everything I touch is rare. Why you don't come around, Becker?
Because I'm rare.
Frivolous, later than your girl's period. But on the track now, so it's good. I'm rarer than a diamond, cause you know them diamonds aren't rare. Marketing invention, yet you see it and you all stare. But me, I'm more like a Tanzanite. Still thick cut, two C's, wash your pants twice. For them double D's, girl, please, I'm from MI. But check out my CT, I put the weight of the world on the beat. Still bringing the pain, y'all know my name. Ravios entertains, and anything that I really want, I will obtain. You a baker boy, so we cooking up some flame. Dang, I'm worth more than a milli, so I rock. My words will take you to another world, lots of chalk. Cause Rudy's got the chalk. With a dip, do I walk? Must be cause I got it in my sock. Nah, I'm playing.
I be the same dude. Used to wake up playing GameCube. Whatever game we playing, man, I can't lose. Can't choose what game system they use. Like saying who better, Ken or Ryu. You love BGs, oh yeah, girl, me too. We can watch anime all day and skip school. Young legend, rap take it to a new level. New medals for young kings who don't settle. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I won't ever let go, gotta keep it red. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I won't ever let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. I'm the otaku king of hip hop. Y'all couldn't pull up on me at a pit stop. Got the sonic ring, middle of my wristwatch. Here it make the ring noise every time it tick tock. It's Young Bag, not Jimmy from the block. Gotta tell me when to start, I don't know when to stop. Pull up to the scene like my name RoboCop. Legendary Baker Styles T, it's a bop. PS Play, yeah, bought it for the fun, yeah. 6-4, yeah, you don't even know, yeah. Game Boy SP on the floor, yeah. Room full of anime scrolls, Momo, yeah. If she not an otaku, we cannot vibe. We so retro, we play the Wii outside. I cannot hear ya, that's a far cry. BG anime retro life. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Urse Mac, the mad scientist.
And it's your girl, Detroit Blue.
What up, what up, what up? This is Monday, and you already know how we feel about Mondays. We are here to make Monday our bitch. That's what we do. That's how we start our week off. We own Mondays. We no longer dread Mondays around here. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, here comes Monday. You know, we're just ready to attack. You know, we're just ready to pounce. What's going on with you, Detroit Blue? What's happening?
I am laughing at the chat. That's what's happening.
You're laughing at the what?
The chat.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's already got started. The chat already got live right before we got started. Like, I don't... Man, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's been a crazy weekend, to say the least, because you got the series finale of WandaVision, which we made a decision not to talk about it on Friday because not everybody's seen it, but you had the entire weekend to actually talk about it, to look at it, to watch it, to analyze it, and all those things. You had Friday, you had Saturday and Sunday, and we can't wait no longer but to talk about WandaVision series finale in all its splendor. Spoiler filled.
It's going down.
So if you didn't watch it yet, your ass out. Just saying.
That's terrible.
I'm just, what? Why is that terrible? That is fact, Detroit. That
it's
is
just
fact.
The way that you said it was so like, well, you're bad.
You're bad, right. You ass out, man. You ass out. This is what it is. It's what it is. On top of all that, over the course of the weekend, Coming to America premiered on Amazon Prime, and watched it with a few friends last night, and we're going to talk about that as well. But before we jump into all that, Detroit Blue, what's been going on with you over the course of the weekend? How are you, ma'am?
I am good. I am back home, nice and comfortable. Got a chance to, unfortunately, I did not get to see any baseball from my son's team in person while I was away, but I got to eat good, got back home. I got to watch some baseball online. And, get ready for a wonderful and productive week this week.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad. I'm getting messages, like, not only in the chat, but I'm getting messages from people on the phone, like my neighbors across the street. Like, I posted a picture of General Izzy, right, with his walk. And she hit me up, and she was like, I hope I see you outside and we can walk to each other like this.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Well, how was your weekend?
My weekend was awesome. I saw several movies, all of them, which was good to me. Well, on top of the series of WandaVision. Of course, me and you, Detroit Blue, we watched that at the butt crack of dawn. So we seen WandaVision, and on Saturday, myself and Queen's Ransom, we watched the United States versus Billie Holiday.
Great movie.
If you haven't, say it again.
Great movie.
Yes, awesome movie, to say the least. You get to learn a little bit more about Billie Holiday as a singer and what she's been through and why the FBI wanted her not to sing the song or whatever the case may be, because they had their own delusions of grandeur as far as what was the intent of the song in the first place, Strange Fruit. But while we was watching the movie, I was researching, you know, Billie Holiday, and I know there are a lot of similarities with the movie and her actual lifestyle. You already know when it comes to biopics or whatever the case may be, it's not always 100% accurate, but they get close to the material as they possibly can, and they did a good job in doing that. So right. I had an awesome weekend. That was Saturday, and on Sunday we seen Coming to America. And of course, we're gonna give our thoughts on that as well. So, AEW Revolution was last night. I did not see it yet, so I do not know the results. However, I do know the surprise signee, and it was Christian Cage. Christian and Edge, you have seen them on WWE with TLC matches, and apparently, according to rumors, he could not reach a deal with WWE. They didn't give him a good enough deal. It couldn't work anything out. However, he talked to Tony Khan, and Tony Khan was able to work out a deal with him. And Christian Cage is the new signee to All Elite Wrestling. So shout out to Christian. I'm happy for that man. Happy for that man. So, yeah. And tomorrow we're gonna do the top Dreamcast games tomorrow for Tuesday. And do not forget, at 7 p.m. today Eastern time, we will be live streaming. Live streaming Stardew Valley. That game is actually fun, Detroit.
You seem to really like that.
Very fun. Yes, I have never been so excited about parsnips in my life. I'm serious. Okay. Well, you a little bit of a botanist, Detroit. You know, you got herbs and spices around your house and stuff like that. I have seen them.
I got my little plant situation. I just bought a new live plant. My basil is growing. I just bought a thyme plant, so I'm really excited about that.
Right.
Some lemon and thyme recipes. I'm excited.
Okay. So
DC said means I'm into plants.
Yes. I don't even know what that means.
That is ultimately what he's saying. He's saying I'm into plants.
Yeah. She has a green thumb. Yeah. So
not Neo-38 says I'm poison ivy.
Poison ivy. Using plants to kill people? Yeah, that's what we do.
Oh, good.
Matter of fact, I think Detroit, you would actually enjoy that game, to be honest. The storyline is endless. It's no like true ending, if I'm not mistaken. You inherit this farm from your grandfather, you know, after he passes away. Now you choose which farm you're going to. I chose beachfront. Like, I'm near the water. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what caters towards my personality? So I like to be on the beach. So when you inherit this farm or this house or whatever the case may be, you got trees, you got rocks, you got all that stuff in your yard. So you got to clean all that stuff up. Now you think that it's endless. Nah, it's not endless when you do this work. You actually run out of energy and you sluggish and you walk slow. You're unable to actually pick up an axe or pickaxe or whatever the case may be, or a hoe to actually do your grass. You have to see your lap. Your hoe. Yeah, you know, your see there? See?
Because y'all are 12 and clearly you rubbed off on me.
Yes, it did. It did. You're welcome, by the way.
You got to pick up an axe or a hoe.
Oh, you know, go fishing, because all the fish that you catch, you can actually eat. It gives you more energy. And also in your house, you have your TV, you have your bed, you have your bench to sit on, and you can check the weather report for the next day. So if you know it's going to rain, you ought to know your plant's going to get water. So I planted some parsnips seeds, and I went to bed and I woke up the next day. And I saw it sprout. I was like, oh, I got excited. I'm not even going to lie to you, Detroit. I like, oh, snap. My parsnips are growing. I was excited. I really was. And apparently with all these things that you're planting, you have a few days before it get like full growth. Like right. Each one has like maybe have 4 days, 6 days or whatever the case may be. And whatever you grow, you can actually put it in this box beside your house, and people come and actually someone will come and grab it, and you make money off of that. You have spring festivals, you have birthdays of people in the town. So if you recognize people's birthdays, you create this rapport with them, and you know, you can plan enough stuff for the festival and all that. That's pretty cool stuff. Just don't.
So basically, you were doing a farm version of The Sims.
In a way, yes. But you don't just farm, though. You can go in caves, you can mine, you can kill off monsters. It's not just farming. And, you know, that's part of it. You can go fishing, farming, mining, hunting. You can do all those things.
That's why I compared it to The Sims, though. Because in The Sims, sure, you can get married and start a family, but you also got to, like, work a job and learn a skill, and you go out and you make friends, and yeah.
Yeah, you know. Stuff like that. So yes, I will be streaming that
with a farm.
Yes, exactly what it is. So I will be streaming that again at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch, Orange Phoenix TV. But Detroit, it is time to get into some WandaVision first, because we've been holding out on it.
I feel like we should do Coming to America first.
You think so?
Oh, because we're gonna wrap that up real fast.
Oh, no we're not.
Yes,
no, we're not, ma'am. No, we're not. So yesterday, I have seen it, last night rather, I seen it with a group of friends, and I'm not even gonna lie to you, I had my reservations about it, because A, it was PG-13. I was like, man, this ain't rated R, this not like it was back in the day. And I sat and watched that movie, and I literally laughed out loud. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. Wesley Snipes and Leslie Jones stole the show for me. They really did. Like, Wesley Snipes is a diverse actor. You know, he's an action star. He's a comedian. Obviously, you see him in New Jack City. He can be a real funny dude. And you can clearly tell in this movie, everybody on set had fun with this movie. And it is unheard of to have at least 96% of the cast 30 years later in full health, I might add, to be in a sequel on top of new characters. That is unheard of to me. And on top of that, Eddie Murphy made, you know, sold it to Amazon for 125 million bones. So there's that too. And it was used at Rick Ross' house. That's that too. So, I mean, all these young black actors and the old school veterans are there. And that's it felt like by the end of the movie, it was a fan reunion in a way. And I was thoroughly entertained. Is it like the original? No, it's not. The original is the original. It is what it is. But I can see where this movie catered to a new fan that possibly never seen Come to America and wants to see the old one. And it also caters to the old fan that seen Coming to America, you know, the first one and looking at this one, and they get all the nods. So I think with this movie, it covered all the bases that it possibly could. People was wondering why Akeem's mother was not in the movie. Actually, she passed away like 97-ish. She had leukemia. So she passed away, unfortunately. Samuel Jackson had schedule conflicts. Lisa's sister, that she had scheduling conflicts along with the guy that plays Daryl. I'm trying to figure out, what schedule conflict he has. We haven't seen him since, what, ER?
Eric Lucelle flat out had said early he wasn't going to do it.
Right. Yeah, he's trash. So Queen's Ransom says, saying that CTA was a feel-good comedy. She loved it. Matt J said PC culture watered it down a little. No, I wouldn't say PC culture watered it down, honestly, because they actually talked about things that are going on right now, and they just made it comedy. So they actually talk about stuff that's going on currently without getting bogged down in the weeds with it. And they made it funny, and you know, at that point. And all the BC said Snipes was awesome, but I just don't like Jones. Now, like with Leslie Jones, I think she got a bad deal with Ghostbusters, obviously, because people crapped on it because it didn't have the original cast in it and it was doomed to fail. And if it was a standalone movie, if it wasn't for Ghostbusters 1 and 2, I think that Ghostbusters was probably been successful. But considering the fact what it was bouncing off of, it was doomed to fail. So with this is the, to me, Leslie Jones was funny in this. Like she really was. She really was funny as this. And she really was like a mom in the way. Like she was literally talking to her son about the real. Like, oh, I'm about to get bathed by these ladies. Son, we are in a different country. You got to get yourself, you know, acclimated to the customs or whatever. So have at it. Have fun, son. You know, do your thing, basically. And he's like, all right, mom, cool. And Rachel said, I didn't like it until I reminded myself that this wasn't raw Eddie Murphy. This was Dr. Doolittle Eddie Murphy. Correct. He has done family films for the past 20 years, except for Dolomite, except for that. He has done family films since then. So it's like, when you are an actor doing that, you're going to progress further. You're not going to stay in the same lane as you was in the 80s. You're just not. You know, I mean, you're going to progress. You're going to get better. You're going to do more things. You're going to be diverse. Kevin Hart wasn't exactly raw Eddie, but he was a little edgy. But you look at all the movies that Kevin Hart been in, some was family, some was not so much family, but most of them was like PG-13-ish. But we seen Kevin Hart stand up. We seen Deon Cole stand up. You know, Deon Cole is in Blackish. But if you look at his stand up, it ain't Blackish. So, I mean, it's a difference. So, Queen Rice said, I would definitely watch it again. Leslie Jones cracked me up. Yeah, she did. And it wasn't supposed to be the original. I had to literally dismiss that Detroit from my mind. Like the minute I saw the movie, I'm like, this is not the original. And I think sometimes we as a culture or the geek culture, we get so stuck on original movies or whatever, we immediately crap on, you know, other like sequels or whatever the case may be. I mean, I even thought about it. I said, man, you should have just leave this movie alone, blah, 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 blah. But after I seen it and see what they were doing with it, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I set it for what it was. And I'm reading other people's comments. She was talking about Sarabi. Oh, that's right. She was playing Sarabi in Lion King. I forgot about that, Detroit. Dang. I forgot all about that.
I'm just waiting on my turn.
So, go ahead.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I got about 15 minutes into it, and I had turned it off. I decided to give it another try and turned it back on, and finished it, but I did not laugh, not once. I know, like, it's already been discussed where everybody on the show has already said, you guys feel like I'm not a Wesley Snipes fan. I didn't find the whole General EZ whole, I didn't find that funny. The French braids looked like very typical, like, Tyler Perry studio wigs. When he had the straight back French braids. I don't find Leslie Jones funny. I don't care what she does. I just don't find her funny. There was, like, the randomness of, like, Lunel and all those other people that, like, just, like, they just didn't really hold a purpose. They were just kind of there. Like, one of the only things that I was like, ha, that was clever, was McDowell's having a working ice cream machine.
Ah, the McFlurry. The McFlurry, yes, it did work.
But just the joke everybody always has about McDonald's ice cream machines never working.
Never.
Yeah, so never I mean, there was that play. But in general, like, to me, the movie felt like a parody of the original. And so, to me, every part of it was this, like, overplayed version of every joke, every cast member. Like, it was just, like, they were deliberately trying to play up everything that, you know, was in the first one. So, I went into the movie, and people keep trying to, like, make this comparison. It's been really interesting to interact on social media about disliking the movie, because there are so many people that are really out here like, oh, if you didn't like it, then, you know, you ate. I literally saw somebody say, if you didn't like it, you ate lead chips as a child. There's been, like, a lot of very dismissive, like, oh, if you didn't like it, then you expected it to be just like the first one, and you wanted this, and you think that everything's supposed to be this Academy Award winning movie. No, I went into the movie with zero expectations. And I
think we all did.
And I just didn't know. I mean, some people really did. Like, they were comparing it to the first one. Some people liked it in comparison to the first one. Some people hated it in comparison to the first one. But everybody that disliked it didn't have these grandiose expectations. It's okay that we just didn't think it was funny. Some people watch Leslie Jones comedy. I don't. I don't find her funny. Like, I don't watch, like, some of the comedians that were in the movie, like, I just don't find them funny. I really haven't watched or enjoyed most of the newer, like, Norbit. Like, there are people that love Norbit. I don't think that Norbit's funny. I've tried to watch it. I've tried to watch it a couple times. I don't think it's funny. So I think that there needs to stop being, at least in this, I'm seeing it a lot more, where people are being very dismissive of people having a difference of opinion. And I think it's okay. Like, you enjoyed it, and you see, just like we're on the air, I gave you your time to, you know, rant and rave and tell how wonderful you thought it was. But at the same, like, I just didn't like it.
I'm just looking at this thing that says, BC, I ate paint chips. You ate paint chips, BCs? Nice. Nice. What flavor was it? Was it white? Black?
Yeah, well, I mean, BC said that Leslie Jones isn't funny to him in the least bit. Like, Top Gun wants to mute my microphone. BC also enjoys seeing Louis Anderson. There was controversy about Louis Anderson being in the movie because apparently, at least in the first one, I guess the movie was done by Paramount, and Paramount made them have a white person. Back in the day, they wouldn't let them have an all-black cast.
Yeah,
so Louis Anderson was the token white guy in the first Coming to America, so they brought him back. But even that whole, like, oh, we're gonna have this, you know, vegan patty, and oh, it's grass, and like, it just felt like this very weird, unnecessary scene to be like, it's your anniversary, we're gonna take you to a fast food restaurant. What? Why? Oh, because it's McDowell's. Well, there's another way that y'all could have squeezed McDowell's in there.
But you're always going to have to squeeze McDowell's in there, man. You know, if you got
sure, Coming to America, but an anniversary meal?
And you already know this thing was going to branch off to Africa. Like, you mean to think, like, Father McDowell ain't going to just expand?
But I'm saying that there would have been a way to make that make more sense. Like, oh, when the son came in town, you want to show him something that's just like home. So you take him to McDowell's. Like, oh, just in case you really ain't feeling the food over here, at least you got you know, something that you've seen back in Queens, it's over here now too. Like, there would have been so many other ways. Yeah, I just, it felt like a Tyler Perry movie too. Like, and I just don't, it felt like a Tyler Perry directed parody of itself.
Now I'm saying we're putting the cart before the horse here. Like, Tyler Perry movies are, I can't crap with Tyler Perry, but let's just say it didn't feel like a Tyler Perry movie. And I see what Mio said. I feel like LJ's character was built to tie Lisa back in her Queens roots, because now that you said it, I understand that, because Lisa really hasn't been in America since she got married. I guess that's what the depiction is. Like, she's just been a queen, basically. And when Akeem's baby mother came up in the mix, you see the scene where they were interacting with each other, but they had this bond. Like, oh man, it's been so long since I hung out, you know, with a girlfriend or whatever the case may be. I've just been sitting here queening the whole time. Or whatever the case may be.
Leslie Jones' character didn't exist to make Lisa relevant. It existed because you gotta have this mysterious son, because he's gotta have a son. You have to make this mysterious son have a mother.
No, not that. I mean, like, Leslie Jones' character with Lisa. Like, that wasn't her purpose, but I understand that wasn't her main purpose, obviously. But
no, but you do. You gotta make them bond. So you play the old school hip hop moment, and let them be at a party drunk and partying together. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And I do like the fact that, okay, yes, he's been raised by a single parent, single mother, whatever the case may be. No, I'm taking my mother with me. She's going to experience this stuff with me, or whatever the case may be. And also
I don't know y'all. I'm 30 years old. Cool. Yeah, I can go by myself. But I don't know y'all.
Right. I don't know y'all. I don't know
that
whatever. Until he find that gold bar with his face on it. He's like,
You ain't taking me from New York to New Jersey. Like, you're taking me across the globe. So no, I get him wanting to take somebody, his mom, his uncle. Like, that seems like a given. And y'all came all the way over here and y'all are gonna only take me. Like, no, nah, y'all flew private. Y'all got room.
Yeah, take my mom's. Now listen. I'm with Rachel. I have been to McDonald's in other countries, and I became real bougie eating McDonald's from other countries. I don't even look at the McDonald's here, unless I'm getting a Happy Meal to get the Pokemon card. But not for that, I probably wouldn't even go to McDonald's at all, to be honest, because it tastes different overseas. Like, McDonald's overseas, McDonald's is crazy. Like, they one in Korea was just straight up awesome. And I'm with you, Rachel. I'm with you.
I will say, you asked, Alpha Mike asked, I like the original, so should I even watch this? And Alpha Mike, what I'm literally telling you is that you hear there's a drastic difference of opinion just between me and Eric Mack. Like, we both saw the original, we both watched this one, and we have drastically differing opinions. Like, I'm not mixed on how I feel. Like, no. I will never watch this movie ever again, and I didn't like it. On the other hand, Earth Mac absolutely enjoyed it and will probably watch it again. You literally have to watch this movie for yourself. This is not a movie that you should let anybody influence you on one way or the other. You just have to watch it for yourself.
Right. So Alpha, if you are watching it wanting it to be like the first movie, then you not going to enjoy it. It will have several nods to the first movie. No, but if you look at
it, it's a nod to the first one, the entire movie.
Right. Well,
yeah. The whole movie.
So yeah. So you got that. Now, if you're watching it because of what it is and for sheer entertainment purposes, yes. Now, I'm with Detroit Blue as far as like Leslie Jones. I didn't find her funny in like other movies, but I am a true believer of not having the same opinion about the person throughout the rest of their career. It's like, so maybe they'll get a movie where, oh man, I really enjoyed this role that they play. And this role that Leslie Jones played, I found her funny. Like Wesley Snipes, always been a fan of Wesley Snipes since Passenger 57. I already knew that, you know. I mean, look at him as a character, you know, of course, New Jack City, White Men Can't Jump, and of course, Blade, you know, the Blade trilogy and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I like his diversity as an actor. No, he's not like Denzel Washington. But I do like his diversity as a character and his ways of entertaining. So those two, to me, as new characters, stole the show for me. Of course, I already knew the Barbers was going to be there. You got to have them in there. Of course, I know Randy Watson that's going to be in there. The Pastor's going to be in there and everything else. I'm not even gonna lie. I was actually looking for Daryl and the sister to actually show up at like the end or whatever the case may be. But I do understand where it's at. So yeah, there is a line drawn in the sand as far as who like it. And I think not just Detroit Blue, but I think with other people that didn't like the movie, they already went into that movie with negative expectations from the jump street.
Stop saying that. I'm telling you from personal experience. Stop saying that.
No, I don't say besides you. Now I say no, besides
but I'm saying
you.
There's a ton of people that I've talked to that also didn't like it. That they were like, no. I'm winning and open-minded about it. And I just didn't like it. Some of us just didn't like it. It's not like a mastermind reason. Some of us we watched the same movie. Some of us liked it. Some of us didn't. We didn't all come in there with an expectation. We just didn't like it.
True. And you also a hard critic to Detroit. I noticed that.
I just didn't find it funny. Like, I literally, wide open mind, ready to laugh at something. I repeatedly, like, people were being very dismissive of this movie from the preview. And people saw the second trailer. And people watched the second trailer and they were like, oh, the second trailer looks even worse than the first one. And I kept saying, this movie is going to be different. It's 30 years later. Like, I'm going to keep an open mind and I'm hoping to enjoy it. And less than 15 minutes into the movie, I was like, really? Really? This is what we're doing?
Yes, this is what we're doing.
And that's what we did for, what, almost 2 hours?
Yes, almost 2 hours. Shout out to BC's. Yes, White Man Can't Jump is freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I'm surprised I did not have that movie.
BC's genuinely, like, basically, like he always does. BC's was trolling me at the end of last week.
He was. And he's still going to probably.
No, no, no. But BC's watched it and was like, yeah, my bad. Detroit Blue was right. And BC's is my number one troll. And BC's is like, yeah, no.
He's still going to be your number one troll. The morning is not over. Just wait.
No, but like you said, yeah, he trolled me, but he was wrong. It wasn't a good movie. I mean, and that's for those of us that didn't like it. Those of y'all that loved it, shout out to you. I said this in my social media post about the movie. Shout out to everybody that did enjoy this movie. I just know that I can't take movie recommendations, especially comedy movie recommendations, from people that found this movie funny. We clearly have a difference in what we find funny.
Ah, so what is some of your favorite comedy movies?
Like, literally, I would say, like, the first Coming to America is one of my favorite comedy movies. Like, I like stuff like Talladega Nights.
I'm on fire. Lord help me, Jesus. Yeah. Will Ferrell's hilarious.
I'm trying to think of, like, other, like, because now I'm like, there's so much pressure. Like, what are some of my favorites? just about anything that Will Ferrell has done, I find funny. Like, Anchorman, Ricky Bobby, like all of those characters I find very funny. I like a lot of Eddie Murphy stuff. I even like Nutty Professor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like super corny. Norbit couldn't stand it. I'm trying to think of other comedy movies that I watch. Like, what are my like go-to comedy movies? I don't know. You probably would have to name some stuff, but yeah, I mean, like Alpha Mike said, Daddy Daycare. Like, I think I've seen Daddy Daycare like twice, but I enjoyed it. What was the movie? That one wasn't really a comedy. There's a movie with Kevin Hart, and he was like he was taking care of the dude in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The name escapes me. It felt more like a drama, but he had his comedic moments. And I think Kevin was trying to play a serious role in that moment.
Right.
I can't think of it at the moment, and it's going to bother me. And I actually thought about the movie. It was off air. I was trying to think of the movie that introduced Bitcoin, and it was Dope. Dope was the name of the movie. And
Dope was really good.
Yeah.
I'm looking, and I find it hilarious that Wolf of Wall Street is considered a comedy.
Because it is. That movie's hilarious.
But it's so much about it that feels like, sure, it's a comedy, but it's also a drama. But yeah, I mean, I like Wolf of Wall Street, if that's considered a comedy. Shazam is considered a comedy. I like that one. Ocean's 8. Like, I'm literally, like, pulling up a list and looking at it. I love Deadpool, of course.
My man, you like Ocean's 8?
Uh-huh.
Okay, continue.
I like Ocean's 8.
I know you've seen Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, right?
I saw all of the Oceans. I've seen all of the Oceans except for, I don't think I watched the original one in full. But I've seen all of the Oceans, and yes, I've enjoyed Ocean's 8.
Nice.
I liked Hangover, Grown Ups, both grown up movies, Tropic Thunder, depends on my mood, but I find it funny. I like Superbad.
Oh yeah, Grown Ups was my joint. I'm not even gonna lie. I like Grown Ups.
Yeah, I mean, those are just some of the ones where I'm just trying to, you know, like, do a quick Google and pull up a list and see what the heck is out there. But yeah, I mean, those are some comedies that I have watched more than once.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Grown Ups, Tropic Thunder was my joint, you know, Ready to Put Tiger Bomb on These Jungles Nuts. That I don't know why that line I remember, but that's hilarious to me. Will Ferrell, Ricky Bobby, Tony, with his sons.
Want a piece of me too, old man? Hop on you like a spider monkey.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That dinner table, man. You just better than an old man. Walker in Texas Ranger. I might have to watch that again. I might have to. But yeah, for Alpha Mike, I definitely say, you know, yeah, just check it out. You know, you have your own opinions at that point. Because it's like, just like what Top Gun said, like, very early on in the show, it's like, it's one of those not for everybody type movies. Mm. And that's kind of like the perfect description of that. If that makes sense. But like I said, when it comes to this WandaVision, though, if you haven't seen this thing from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, today's Monday, you ass out. Because we spoiling this joint. Today, we spoiling that joint.
Alpha Mike is ready.
Alpha Mike is ready. Everybody else is ready. People have seen it. Detroit Blue, take it away, please. Because you've been chopping at the bit when it came to this WandaVision.
Of course, because I love so many things that are MCU. I'm very, very, very excited to talk WandaVision. I do think, first off, I'm going to say, I think that it was very, very interesting that apparently, fortunately for me, I don't pay attention to critics' responses. But apparently, Rotten Tomatoes has episode 9 as the lowest rated episode of the entire series.
I actually understand that and believe that.
I totally believe and understand it. But like I said, I just thought that it was very, very interesting. And the rating wasn't low. It was an 80% rating. So it wasn't crazy. But I think the next lowest rated one was actually episode 8, and it was an 84%. A huge part of that, I think, is that the fans, literally as the series went on, like you and others, like, there started to be so many fan theories. People really wanted to see Mephisto, and there was really just this, like, yeah, but where are the things that I want to see? And so I think, to me, then, if the parts that you expected to see don't happen, then the movie's bad.
Fair point. That's fair point.
You're like, what? There's no Mephisto. Like, then y'all did it wrong. And then they're like, we weren't planning on doing that, though. So we did it just fine.
Yeah. You, ma'am or sir, had delusions of grandeur thinking Mephisto was going to show up. But tough shit, he didn't show up. Like, I went through a roller coaster of emotions, Detroit, because I thought Mephisto was going to show up. Then, you know, we seen this article about a potential 10th episode. I'm like, oh, maybe Mephisto might show up. And then we come to find out it's not going to be 10th episode. And then it's going to be 9. I'm like, oh, crap. Well, I'm back in my corner again. You know, Mephisto's not showing up because Mephisto is such a big character. You can't just have him in just one episode. You just can't. He was an enemy of Doctor Strange, enemy of Wanda, enemy of Ghost Rider. I mean, he's too much of a big bad. So, I mean, it's now, like, with the last episode, you see glimpses of Monica's power. You see Agatha's reasoning behind Wanda's power, like why she wants to control. Like, listen, she said something very interesting to me. She said, you have potential, if not already, more powerful than a Sorcerer Supreme, as in Doctor Strange. That's kind of hard to believe that. That's a little bit of a stretch. But did you pick up on that nugget?
I did, but I'm also laughing because Mio's 38 said, is it bad that I was hoping that they tied Wanda to Magneto? And I don't think that that's bad, because, I mean, a lot of us that are paying attention to it have really, really, really been waiting to figure out how are they going to put together this crossover, how is it going to happen, how are they going to make it make sense. But I think it's just funny because some people were taking theories like that or ideas like that and then tying it to if this movie was good, I mean, if this final episode was good or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it had anything to do with it. But, okay, so you guys know that I usually kind of get into at least a few of the Easter eggs and the interesting things that you may have missed when watching the overall show. So, first, one of the things that we have was Wanda was levitating a car and threw the car at Agatha.
Right.
This is something that I know, you know, it's a lot of movies and we may have forgotten, but Wanda's actually done this before. She did this in Civil War where she threw a bunch of cars at Iron Man.
Yes.
So this is kind of what she does. It's also really interesting that a lot of the cars that she has thrown have also been red.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
When Wanda looks under the car to see Agatha and make sure that the car that she threw into Agatha actually hit her, it's really interesting. There's kind of this like nod to the Wizard of Oz because Agatha's boots are sticking out.
Yeah, that's awesome, right?
See, Neo 38 literally was saying it. Yep. It literally is supposed to be a Wizard of Oz nod.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda actually meeting White Vision is directly from the Avengers West Coast, issue 45.
Look at you.
No. It's the articles I'm reading.
Don't
get that excited.
Wow, you could have just took that cred though. You could have took the street cred, fam. But
what happened is that y'all would ask me about something else that was a comic book moment and I'd be like lost.
Because we would.
So in the comics, Wanda meets White Vision, and although he knows her name, she immediately realizes that he doesn't have any emotional connection to her anymore. In the episode, we learn it's essentially because he is the parts of Vision, but they have essentially suppressed his memory.
Yeah.
Because they can't wipe it clean. They can't erase his memory.
Mm-hmm.
But they've made a way so that he does not have access to it.
Gotcha. Okay.
White Vision and Vision are fighting, and White Vision tries to get the Mind Stone out of Vision's head. And if you're paying attention, it was exactly like Thanos tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is Vision and White Vision are so similar that Vision is able to just phase himself right through White Vision's hand.
That's true. I did caught that. I'm like, damn. Third time. I mean the Mind Stone he has is not really real. So I was like,
right.
What are you gonna do with that, fam? Like, nothing. You're not gonna do anything with that. I mean, the Mind Stone is gone. But I did see it. But if that was really was going to happen, I was going to laugh my ass off. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm like, man, you are trash. Like, you can't protect your forehead, dude.
Mm-mm.
You are a vibranium synthesoid, and you cannot protect. Look at the decline of Vision, okay? When he was first introduced in Ultron, he was casually tossing around Thor's hammer like it was nothing and just handed to him. And on top of all that, he was uber powerful in Ultron, uber powerful in Civil War. He was the nuclear deterrent in Civil War. Like, people couldn't stop him at that point. And then here comes Infinity War. You get stabbed about 42 times. Get your Mind Stone pulled out of your forehead twice. Now I'm exaggerating with the getting stabbed part, but bro, come on, man. Where's the Civil War vision in Infinity War? You just out here getting your ass beat in front of your girl, man. In front of your girl, she has to protect you from getting your ass beat. Man, that's crazy.
As Agatha and Wanda are starting to, you know, get into their bickering, getting into their arguing, and preparing to fight, Agatha mentions the Darkhold, which is the book that we saw in her basement. And the Darkhold was created in the Dark Dimension and contains infinite knowledge. Well, because she says, did you know there's an entire chapter devoted to you in the Darkhold? So we know there's more, which would, for those that did not stay for the very, 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 very end, did not see the extra scenes at the end, but there is, there appears to be that Wanda is kind of expanding her knowledge, which would kind of tell me that she is digging into some of that additional information and knowledge on herself in the Darkhold. And this book was also previously seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I feel like only confirms what I've been saying since people were on the fence or talking about not watching WandaVision or not finishing it, is that all of the content that Marvel keeps giving us is all tied to one another.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that. I'm not going to lie. I was hoping Nick Fury's going to show up, man. You know, I was hoping like, hey, what's up, Monica? What's the deal, fam? Now, the question is, will Monica have her own show? Is this what, are they going to have like a sword series? Even though we didn't see anything like that in any of the Disney promos or poster art or anything like that. So,
but are we going to get a phase 5?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're getting that phase 5 now.
So, definitely get that. I feel like that's when we get it. Monica is set to definitely appear in Captain Marvel 2. And I feel like after that, after we can spend at least a little bit more time on what exactly her powers are, which I think we'll have that explained in Captain Marvel 2, then you give her own show. Okay. Or at least tie her into somebody else's show again.
True. And Alpha Mike says, Wanda was doing astral projection. Basically what Doctor Strange has been doing. You know how you've been reading the books, but he was doing something else totally different.
Yep.
And that what was going on. So, okay, I thought Alpha Mike was calling. But yeah, so that was one of the, because people was kind of confused. Like, no. Remember what Doctor Strange was doing? That's how he was studying. So while Wanda was doing her, you know, everything physically, her astral self was actually studying at the same time. So, do she have potential to be stronger than the Sorcerer Supreme? And as in Doctor Strange, the answer is yes. But he's a Sorcerer Supreme, man. He's the master of the mystic arts.
They literally said her power does exceed that of the Sorcerer Supreme, though. It's her destiny to destroy the world.
And so when you look at that, do you think Agatha was really a bad guy? Because it seems like she was trying to take her power out of fear. Like, look, you would destroy everything. You don't know how to control this thing, but I do. And do you think when Agatha got jumped, pretty much, do you think that what she was doing in the past, like she was taking away certain things from witches because she knew eventually they weren't going to be able to control that?
I feel like Agatha calls herself doing some of these things for the right reason, because I think that in her mind, right or wrong, other people are not going to use these powers to defeat whoever needs to be defeated the way that she will. I think that she, it comes across as, I can use your powers better than you can, so give them here. And so whether that's a good thing or not, that's still to be determined. But I think that Agatha thinks that that's what's supposed to happen. But now we've got Agatha stuck in Westview.
Yeah. Yeah, she's stuck in her own her little world. So... which is interesting. Didn't Wanda close that hex altogether?
It seems like she did, but you know, magic makes things go crazy.
True, true. Magic is real, ladies and gentlemen. Magic is real.
I also just, I am really interested and curious if this is true, but they, there is a belief that Agnes talks about her husband through all the early episodes. Do you remember what Agnes's husband's name was?
Oh, crap. No, I don't.
Agnes's husband's name is Ralph.
Ralph Boner, son.
Ralph Boner.
Boner.
So the thought is that is Pietro who she was talking about?
Probably. Ralph Boner.
Was she talking about controlling? Like, is Ralph Boner who her husband is? Is she Agnes Boner?
Agnes, wow. Agnes Boner. Like, even Monica, like, Ralph Boner, that's her name? Like, that's her name, fam? And
I will also say, random joke. People are terrible because someone saw, like, as the powers are draining out of Wanda and she looks very, like, skeletal, mm-hmm. somebody took a screenshot and says, now I see the Olsen resemblance.
Oh,
because humans are terrible.
Yes, we are. But is it true, though? Is it true, though?
I think that you can tell that she looks like them regardless. What I do find funny is that Elizabeth Olsen is only 5'6". When you see pictures of her standing next to Mary-Kate and Ashley, she towers over them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are they like 4'8"? Like, what the heck?
That, I don't know, they man.
Teeny tiny, because she is 5'6" and she looks so much taller than that.
So the twins got to be like 5'3"-ish. Got to be 5'3", 5'2", something around that.
They
got to
be shorter than that. I feel like they got to be shorter than 5 foot.
You think they're 4'11"?
I think they're at least 4'11".
Holy crap, man. Yeah, we got to Google this at some point.
Have you seen pictures of the two of them? I feel like on paper they're 5'2", but if she is 5'6", if you look at the height difference between them, that feels like it's more than 4 inches.
Maybe she was wearing heels and they were wearing flats.
I've seen multiple pictures of the three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it wasn't always they were wearing flats and she was wearing heels.
Interesting. Yeah, I had to research this, man. I mean, I haven't seen a more recent picture of the Olsen twins. I know there was a picture I've seen where I think they were dealing with drugs and that's why they looked the way they looked. In the most recent pictures, like, have they kicked the habit? I'm just assuming here because I haven't read about Olsen twins, but my assumption is it had to be something drug related for them, for their skin to, like, you know, look like that.
Right.
So, you know, are they looking better?
I mean, they still look really, really skinny and kind of ghostly.
Oh, skeletal even. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm. It's not pretty. But there are, when Billy realizes that Wanda's in trouble, we see flashes of moments we actually don't see until a few minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
So this just goes into the fact that Billy does have some powers and does have some understanding and can, you know, kind of not just read minds and what's going on in somebody's head, but clearly Billy is also able to see into the future. We don't know how far into the future, but at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was interesting when the Westview residents all kind of let Wanda know that they have her nightmares when they sleep.
Yeah.
And if you look back, when people finally do the whole WandaVision rewatch, mm-hmm. this is actually something that Monica said after she left the Hex the first time.
Really? Okay, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, she said there was. She felt hopeless, like she was drowning. She felt like she was going through grief.
So basically, you're saying that when she split up, well, she, in a sense, she split it. She split herself into different people, like with the kids and in Vision. Like she split she split her pain up.
I think that it's more so the fact that in a way of in the process of controlling them. You mm-hmm. didn't give them their own autonomous emotion. You just gave them your emotion.
Got you.
So I think they're all going through the same grief that she's going. Like, I feel like it's equal. And they don't know who this person is and why they're grieving and who they're grieving for and all of that stuff. But they just know that they're all grieving. So I did think it was interesting because I forgot what the heck was going on and why I did watch it. But I did end up watching a brief part of that. And seeing Monica come after she got kicked out the first mm-hmm. time. And she talked about the fact that she felt grief. And it was like, oh, crap. The people of Westview finally tell her when they get to talk to Wanda and say, we feel your grief. We see your nightmares.
So let's address the elephant in the room here.
Which one?
After Endgame, Hawkeye went to his family, hugged his family. Captain America went back in his time frame, got back with his woman. Ant-Man went to his girlfriend and his kid. Nobody checked on Wanda at all. Like, nobody? Like, yo, what's happening? You all right? Nobody. Like, I was just going to throw it to the wayside. Like, y'all just had that conversation. Well, I think it was Hawkeye. No, it was a Cap or Hawkeye. One of them two had a conversation with Wanda at the lake. Or whatever the case may be, and that was it. But nobody went to check on Wanda. No phone calls, no text messages, none of that. Like
well, I mean, Wanda didn't have a cell phone on her.
True, that's true.
And all of but this happened within a week and a half of the end game.
This is true. All this is true. But with something as big as the Hex taking over a whole town, War Machine, Winter Soldier, Hawkeye, even, you know, Tony Stark. I mean, even though Tony Stark is dead, his technology is not. You know, you got Spider-Man for crying out loud. Like, no, Doctor Strange. Mm-mm. Stuff is going on in the mystical world. And you don't know anything about that, fam. Maybe that's going to explain. He's probably in the multiverse, and he probably didn't know. Maybe. But also,
there's going to be some crossover because we even talked about the fact that the Sokovia Accords, are definitely going to be tied into future things. Whether mm-hmm. it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which it appears that it's going to be. Mm-hmm. At least some reference to the fact that, okay, there's some violations to the accords, so now, you know, the Falcon has and Winter Soldier and War Machine and all of them are gonna have to deal with the fact that the government is upset.
Yeah, true that. All right,
Alpha Mike says Tony is still alive.
Say what? How? Okay, we got Maxwell. Maxwell 3278. What's going on, Maxwell? What's happening, fam?
Hey, yo. What up? So I got my three things of the week. Oh, shouts out to Xavier Baseball. Go forever.
thank you.
So, first one. Coming to America 2 was not that bad. I get what Detroit is saying, but I think not Detroit, but other people had this unrealistic expectation of this movie because the first
y'all keep so saying bad. I love how y'all keep saying that, or but some of us just didn't like it, like with expectation.
I agree, but the majority is, man, I thought it was gonna be, no, it's not gonna be that. Eddie Murphy is like 60 years old. You can't expect him to act the same way he did in his 20s and 30s.
Is he 60 though? So, oh, how old is he?
No, he's definitely in his, if he's not in his 60s, he's 60.
Whew, man. Good gosh, man, go ahead.
Second thing, I hate to say it, but Shaq did an actually good job in AEW this weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I never thought I'd see the day where Shaq was an actual competent pro wrestler, but it happened.
Alpha Mike said that Eddie Murphy's 59. So, yeah.
Close enough.
That's what I'm saying. So he's 60. So he's 60.
Last thing, and y'all have not talked about this, and I understand why. But did y'all see that butt whooping that UNC put on Duke?
Gosh. Okay, wait a minute. Hold up. Stop the presses right now. Really? Stop the presses. We have already agreed that both teams are trash this season. We
definitely have already
agreed. UNC got a chance to make the tournament, though, y'all.
Hold on. So, Maxwell, I have a question for you.
Okay.
You a UNC fan?
Heck no.
Then leave it alone.
No, I never missed the opportunity to get on you guys because you guys are right so much and I'm always wrong. This is my one time being right and I'm taking it.
No. You're still not right. We literally both said, Earthsmack and I both said, Duke is trash. UNC is trash.
But that does not change the score, baby. That does not change the
And that's how you try to do it. But the point is that you said y'all are usually right and I'm usually wrong. But if the two of us have already said throw the season away.
You can't throw the season away until it's over.
Literally, that's what you do. You throw things
because
away.
Because you being a Lions fan have been suffering for years. And you still look forward to that season with optimism.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Hey, you ever seen like Family Guy where where Peter was finally right and then he had a dead clown in the ceiling because it took so long for him to be right. He just pulled a string, the clown came out. This is a skeleton. But no, Matt's been right on a few things, honestly. On a good bit of things. But
he wants to say, oh no, like, but if the two of us have already said, like, just we're not really caring about this season with Duke. Like we haven't been cocky. Neither one of us was like, oh my God, y'all gonna watch the game, blah 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 blah. Like we have been super quiet about Duke basketball. So it's not like we are being our usual Duke fan, braggadocious, cocky, whatever, whatever. So to suddenly be like, look, they're trash. We're like, yeah, we know this.
I am never going to miss an opportunity to berate Duke.
So Detroit, how
like UNC?
Like how Max feels about Duke. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about the Cowboys times 50. So anytime the Cowboys lose, I don't care if they lost against a varsity football team. I'm going to the top of the mountains. Scream out, Dallas is trash, and I would piss on their remains. That's how I feel about Dallas.
There's only two teams that I really feel that passionately about, and realistically, I try to ignore them at every opportunity I get, and that's FAMU and the Chicago Bulls.
FAMU?
Yep. That's not complicated.
That's not complicated at all. I can see if you
said
TSU.
No, I'm saying like, no. I went to TSU. I said teams that I dislike.
Oh, you dislike them. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said there's two teams that I truly dislike.
But what I really need for TSU to do is stop trying to play in the OVC and come onto the SWAT so I can see them play at least twice a year. Thank you very much. Because we're getting Bam. And we're getting Bethune-Cookman in the SWAT. I think that's going to be interesting.
But I will also say shout out to the Rattlers. For this partnership that FAMU just announced with LeBron at Nike.
Oh, I saw that. That is dope. Yes, yeah. Very dope.
It's a good look. Congratulations to them. I think there's endless opportunity that could come from that. But I still hate the Raptors. I also still hate LeBron.
I haven't watched the All-Star game yet. I'm actually after
don't waste
the show,
your time.
You can skip it.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
It's, you're not going to miss anything.
You can just skip it. The skill challenges, the dunk contest.
Well, hold on now. I did see the three-point contest, and I was thoroughly entertained by that. I mean, you know, when it comes to shooting.
The problem is the dunk contest is not going to be any good until the big names get in it, but that's a story for another day.
Right.
I mean, there also was only three people in it.
Right.
And they only got two dunks apiece.
Yeah, that was dumb. When I saw it was only three people, I was like,
three people, right. Two dunks apiece, so we get six dunks total. Right. And Alpha Mike, yes, LeBron is probably going to ruin Space Jam.
He's going to who?
Ruin Space Jam. I think that it's really funny.
Oh, it's already ruined. If you've seen
people are upset about Lola Bunny not being sexy anymore, and I feel like that's weird.
Well, if you see the animation, this is going to be another case of like Coming to America too, because
Same person that enjoyed Tom and Jerry, so.
But from what I've seen, if you like animation, the characters aren't animated the same, so it's going to mess with your head, in my opinion. I'm going to watch it because it's Space Jam, and I am a LeBron fan, unfortunately.
I'll probably miss it.
But I hate his shoes. That's so weird.
I forgot how it happened, but it was never intentional for me to watch the first Space Jam because I hate Michael Jordan. So I never really had any intention of watching the first one, and something happened and I somehow probably a school trip or something, and it was playing on the bus or whatever, like some circumstance where I just couldn't get away from it, and I saw it and I was like, oh, this isn't terrible.
Mm-hmm. So question for you too.
Yep.
Outside of the movies that you talked about in WandaVision, what are some good choices to watch on our streaming platform right now?
United States versus Billie Holiday.
Okay.
That is for sure. That is one. I will say that movie is one I can only watch really once. You know, honestly, not bad. It's not a bad movie at all. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's dark.
Yeah, it's just dark. Dark and funny too. I mean, it does have a lot of funny moments. A good bit of funny moments in it. Stuff I chuckled at.
It's got a couple of chuckle-worthy moments. I wouldn't call them a lot. What is something else that's really, really good? I am into documentaries, so there is a documentary on Netflix called Murder Among the Mormons.
Mm-hmm. There's also a documentary called Age of Samurai, Battle for Japan. Talk about the 16th century warring in Japan. What made Japan, basically. You got that. Of course, I already know you've seen Biggie, I Got a Story to Tell. Or I know you've seen that.
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Hip Hop Uncovered.
I've seen that.
That was great.
So those are the upcoming movies we got. This is March here. So you already know, you got Falcon Winter Soldier coming up. You got Kong versus Zilla. There is something
else. Kong's gonna whoop him.
I still go for Kong.
Me and Erica never agree, so you know what's gonna happen.
I don't know, man.
Detroit never agree on anything. So yeah, Kong's gonna thrash Godzilla.
Well, he probably would thrash Mecha Godzilla, but not Godzilla. Man, maybe the person he was fighting
Godzilla up against him, he's gonna lose.
Man, listen here. Listen here.
And when I say Jesus Godzilla, he's gonna be mixing. Jesus Godzilla.
Oh Lord, Jesus.
Jesus Godzilla.
Jesus Godzilla.
So yeah, so I don't know. Mecha Godzilla, I think, would be. Oh, Mecha Gadara is gonna be in it. So, I mean, the person that Kong probably was fighting was the Mecha version of it. So, I still have yet to see Tom and Jerry, but I will see that today. I promise.
Did you watch it yet, Aaron? Detroit?
No, I'm not watching it.
Okay.
I told you no.
I'm not.
I was very clear about the fact that I wasn't
watching. I don't remember you saying that.
No, you asked us about this before, and I told you I'm not. Yeah. I told you I'm not watching that. I'm not.
I've been celebrating my birthday for like almost 2 weeks now. I forget a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, also, the Zack Snyder's Justice League is dropping.
Oh, yeah, Zack Snyder's Justice League is coming. But you guys know that Batman Begins and The Dark Knight are on Netflix.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
Like, y'all, I am getting fleeced for so much money because I don't get to watch television a lot. So I live through y'all to catch me up on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I may be the only person who pays for Disney Plus and has not watched all of WandaVision yet.
Oh wow!
Please
really?
Watch all of WandaVision.
So I need y'all two and the rest of the OP community to pray for your boy.
I tried to watch the dinosaurs, like they re-released dinosaurs and put it on there, and it doesn't hold up for me.
You mean the show?
And
the show, yeah.
It didn't age well.
No, it didn't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, the baby dinosaur was so cute back then, and now he's like, you're corny. Leave me alone.
Like Top Gun said, not the mama. Like, but there's only so many times you can see that and just be looking for that part before you're like, I'm not watching a whole 25-minute episode just to get to that part.
True that. Detroit, you've raised kids, so you've heard that a lot.
Like I don't even like it's not it's yeah, you know.
It doesn't help. I agree.
College admission scandal is actually coming to Netflix. There's a documentary on that. And all the people that were paying money to get their kids in college, that is coming this week.
What? Okay. Yep. All right. Cool. Cool. Cool.
And the documentary on murder at the Cecil.
Doctor Who?
It's a docuseries on. It's called Murder at the Cecil, and mm-hmm. it's about the Cecil Hotel that's in downtown Los Angeles. And it's kind of, it's a really interesting documentary series. It covers some of the conspiracy theories, some of the history of Skid Row. Like, people really don't know, like, going to downtown Los Angeles is not an exciting thing. Going to, like, people hear the term Skid Row, but don't understand what Skid Row is. This documentary kind of covers all of that, but it also talks about there was one particular young lady that died at the hotel, and it kind of talks about all the different conspiracy theories and the investigation and everything that was tied to that.
Gotcha. Okay. I was thinking about the story you told me recently, or was it, I don't know if it was you or not, about the doctor.
Yes, I told you about that.
The fertility guy who was impregnating.
Yep, it's called
his
the baby
own.
God. That one. So that one is called the baby God, but I forgot. I was looking at something else and another. No, and because I listen to podcasts on Spotify as well, and there is also on Spotify a podcast about a completely different doctor that was doing the same thing.
Hilarious.
So I don't remember if we talked to the Geek Corner about it, but for the Geek Corner that does not know, there's a documentary on HBO Max. It's called The Baby God, and it's about a doctor. It's about a fertility doctor in Nevada who was essentially, he says, he was mixing his sperm with the sperm of the father or the husband to quote unquote increase the chances of the mother getting pregnant. But he was never telling the couple that he was doing this. And only because of Ancestry.com, basically, are some of these people suddenly realizing that they are not their father's child. Even if they grew up and never understood, the parents may not have ever known this was a thing. They are all finding out together that, nope, your daddy is not your daddy.
So
and this other man is your daddy. And he got like 25 other kids.
This is a clean show, so I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. Mm-mm. I'll tell that joke later.
But I'll tell that joke later. But the issue that I noticed at the end of that episode was at the end of that series was that this is actually apparently it was a relatively common thing. There are like dozens of fertility doctors that were doing this.
Oh, that's scary.
Yep.
Yeah, that's scary. And yep. also for those of you that are in the Geek Corner, please follow us on Facebook on community page Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. I did just post, I'll say earlier this morning, a death battle. Some people was wondering who would win a fight between He-Man and Lion-O for Thundercats. And the results are in. They were asked to do that. And I feel like we can discuss some of these death battles later on, because there was a She-Ra versus Wonder Woman. I did see that this morning as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to tell you the results of Troy. I'll just let you watch it.
I don't care what they say. I'm still going with She-Ra. I'm cheering for She-Ra through the whole thing.
You go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, man. You might be surprised with the results. I'm not saying who wins or loses. It would say it in the video. It was So basically, with Screw Attack and Death Battles, they actually give you the stats, weapons, skills, the science of things on each character. Then they actually show the fight between them two. And then after the winner is declared, they go and tell you why they won.
Oh, and Alpha Mike just mentioned, he said, why was He-Man running like Chitara? Very random, but it reminded me because he says Chitara, number one, the jokes that I look like Thundercat, the Thundercats one day will stop. Number two, Puma just released a collaboration where they have Thundercats themed shoes.
What?
One is a mostly baby blue shoe, so it looks like... It's called the Lion-O, and it is designed after his, like, little vest situation. There's one that's called the Cat's Lair, and that one is mostly black and white shoe. And then there is the Chitara, which is the only women's shoe in the collection, and it is like white with black spots. And yeah.
What? Nice, nice. I'm with that. I'm with that. And also, those of you that are fans of He-Man, you may or may not know He-Man actually have a comic book as well that is made by DC. I am currently reading The Eternity War. Also, there's a He-Man Masters of the Universe, and things is a lot more darker in the comics than they are in the actual 80s show. People get stabbed, cut, and all kind of things. Of course, when you play with swords, that what happens. So, I know in the Eternity War, you see Skeletor, you see Hordak. Of course, you know Hordak from She-Ra. So, I know in one of them, you see Skeletor and She-Ra on the same side. And they're not bad. So, that's all I'm going to say. But yeah, there's a lot of things that's going on in Eternia. But if you're a She-Ra fan like Detroit Blue and a He-Man fan like myself, along with Thundercats and all that, I would highly encourage you to go to Comixology if you want to read digital comics. And you can read the volumes of He-Man and thoroughly enjoy those. But I know in the future, me and Detroit, we discuss some of these death battles and why they won and blah, 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 blah. And we'll keep going from there. But tomorrow at 10 a.m., we're definitely going to be talking about the best Dreamcast games. If you had a Dreamcast, we're going to go take a stroll down memory lane. If you haven't had a Dreamcast or haven't had the pleasure of playing some of these games, we will guide you in the right direction. And actually talk about some of the games that's not on the list as well. As well as some more geekdom news. Tonight at 7 p.m., we'll be streaming on Twitch, Orange Phoenix TV. Do not forget to subscribe to our magazine, Orange Phoenix Magazine, people. We're talking about the retro gaming wars of the 90s, along with some fashion tips, some trivia, some Sudoku, some word finds, some of everything is in the magazine as far as gaming are concerned, to cater to your nerd needs. All right, so all you got to do is go to www.patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. That is patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. And do not forget to follow us on Instagram at Orange Phoenix Media. Am I missing anything, Detroit Blue?
You covered the Instagram, right?
Correct.
Okay. That was the one thing that I was trying to make sure. And yes, Alpha Mike, never forget about hoodies. Alpha Mike did it. He brought up hoodies. Alpha Mike brought up hoodies.
Man, I don't... You know what? Yeah, we're just going to sign off, man. We're just going to slide.
and blankies. At this point, I'm not going to forget about blankies, too.
Wow. Oh, see that? See what you brought upon yourself, Mike? So you said, don't forget your hoodies, and she says blankies. Now she wants your blankie now. She's going to steal it. She's going to steal that shit. See?
I'm not going to steal the blankie. But the hoodie, I mean, that's fair game.
He said it's on the Facebook page. Not my fault. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But she's coming for your blankie. That's not on the Facebook page.
Y'all have a great Monday.
All right. See y'all tomorrow and tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. All right. Peace.